Let me say good evening to everyone. Come on, let's bless the Lord tonight because he's worthy to be praised and he's worthy of our praise tonight. What a joy it is to be in the house of the living God one more time. I said, what a joy it is to be in the house of the living God one more time. What a joy it is to be in the house of the living God one more time. It's not home going, it's a homecoming, amen? Celebration tonight. It's not home going, it's homecoming celebration tonight. Thank God for another revival. It's another revival, annual revival. And the Lord has kept us, the Lord has blessed us, the Lord has spared his grace and mercy upon us one more time. And while the blood is running warm in our veins, let's give him all the glory and the praises. While the choir preparing us tonight to worship him in spirit as well as in truth, go ahead and pray. Pray for the area where you're sitting. Pray for the pews that you're sitting on tonight that the Lord will have his way. Pray for the pulpit area. Pray for the choir stand. Pray for our musicians. Lift them up. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Yeah. That's a song, right? Yeah. Oh, I just made that up. That's Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. What, pure and holy? I'm going through something, right? Oh, tried and true. Yeah, tried and true, yeah. With Thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary. Okay, I think that's what? Just for you. Okay, okay. All right, so I think, okay. All right, well, let's sing just a little bit of that. Okay, yeah. I want to be a living sanctuary, okay? Let's sing while we prepare ourselves to worship him in spirit as well as in truth. I think the choir, they already know the song. I believe that you all know the song. So let's make one big choir as we magnify and glorify him. In 3 minutes. Amen.
Sanctuary. Hey.
Amen. Come on, give God your best praise tonight. Amen. 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 Our summer revival, we are saved to serve. Matthew 28:19. Our guest preacher tonight, Reverend Eddie W. Thomas. Amen. Thank God for him. Thank God for preparing him for our three-night revival. We pray that you all will continue to pray and seek the face of God. At this time now, we're going to prepare for our worship service. We're going to ask the choir to give us a selection of the choice, and immediately after the choir lead us in a selection of the choice, we will have our prayer, then our scriptures, then our greeting by Dr. Thompson will come and greet us on behalf of the church, and then we have our selection, and then we prepare for our offering on tonight. And then we'll have the presentation of our guest preacher for this week. So at this time now, we're ready for our choir to lead us in a selection of the choice, and immediately after the choir, we'll be prepared for our prayer. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Bless you. Let us prepare now for our prayer.
Amen.
Most gracious eternal heavenly Father, we come boldly before your throne of grace and mercy tonight just to say thank you. God, you did it again. You allowed death angel to behave on last night. Allowed us, Master, to live to see another day that we never seen in this life. And God, with good consecrated sense, we pause tonight to say thank you. What a joy, what a privilege it is to talk to you. God, we thank you for being God and being God all by yourself. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. Touching our children and our spouses, our brothers and our sisters, our family members. Watching over them all week long, sparing their lives. So God, we pause tonight to say thank you. Put food on the table one more time. Shoes on our feet and clothing on our body. You paid the rent and the mortgage one more time. God, we pause tonight to say thank you. You just keep on making a way for us. Just keep on providing for us. And God, with good consecrated sense, we say thank you. For being so good. Now, God, we confess our sins tonight. Oh, we sinned. We said something. We had some thoughts. We went somewhere that was contrary to your teaching. Have mercy upon us. Purge our hearts with the spirit of hyssop. Create us a new heart and renew a right spirit within us. We confess our mess tonight. Wash us. Mold us and shape us tonight. Preach to our hearts tonight. Use this preacher in a very powerful way tonight. Transform us from the inside out tonight. God, we thank you for convicting us, for changing us, and compelling us. God, you are a changing God. Now, God, we pray, God, for the choir. Continue to use them in a very powerful way. Pray, God, for the musicians. Use them in a very powerful way. Strengthen their vocal cords. Keep their minds on you, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we pray, God, for every person upon the sound of my weak voice. We pray, God, that thine the Lord would give them the desires of their hearts tonight. We pray the prayer of Jabez over their lives. Bless them indeed. Enlarge their territory and keep your divine hands upon them. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in our church. Continue to move from heart to heart and move from mind to mind. Have thine way tonight. We claim the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. For our scripture reading for tonight, use Matthew 28:19. Saved to serve, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28, chapter, verse 19. Amen. At this time, now preparing for Dr. Thompson to come and bring our greetings. And after our greetings, we'll have a selection from the choir, and then we have our offering. Dr. Thompson.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, I want to say just welcome for coming out to John's Chapel this evening for another beginning of a weekly strong revival. We ask you to open your hearts so that you might be able to accept the message that I know has been prepared for you this evening. We want you to enjoy this revival. You know, as I was driving up, it started to rain. And I said, well, is it going to rain on God's parade? Then the rain stopped. And here you are. And we thank you for coming.
Amen.
We know that this pastor is going to treat you in a manner in which my national chaplain says he'll start low. Then he'll get high. Then he'll bring you on home.
Amen.
We know that you will enjoy him. And you will enjoy this weekly revival. And we also want to invite you now to return next year. So on behalf of Reverend Willie White Jr., First Lady Patricia White, I greet you and I thank you for coming out and being with us this evening. Thank you.
Amen. Bless you. Come on, y'all. Let's bless the Lord for Dr. Thompson. Amen tonight. Thank you for the greetings, Dr. Thompson. At this time, we're going to have our community choir to give us a selection of the choice. Then after the community choir, we'll be prepared for our offering. And then we'll be able to make that transition again and again and again and again. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all.
Said you'll be with me. Said you'll of course, he'll be with me when I'm sick and I can't get well. He'll be with me, yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let all the saints of God say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give God your best praise tonight. Amen. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful reminder. God said he will be with us. Amen. And what a joy it is to know that God is with us. Through the storm, through the rain, God is with us. On the mountaintop, through the valleys, God is with us. And we're so thankful and grateful for the Lord. Said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. All right, it's giving time. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I like the way you all are responding, amen. Amen. I mean, Christians get happy when it's time to give. Amen. Lord have mercy, singing is good, shouting is good, but boy, when it's time to give, amen, hey, thank God for the spirit of generosity and having generous Christians in Enterprise, Alabama, at John Chapel ALB Church, people willing to give, amen, let us give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for we know that God loves a cheerful giver. So members, we know that we're asking all of our members as well as our guests for $25 to carry us through this week with our revival. And that's low. Somebody just said low. Shout low. Come on, shout low. Amen. That's low. That's low. That's $25 per member here in our church to help carry our revival. And to take care of some of the necessities that we need to take care of. So tonight, we're asking who all can and will. Amen. You all keep smiling. You're smiling. You're smiling. Keep smiling. Miss Willa, how are you? You doing well? Good to see you tonight. Good to see you tonight. Miss Mary, how you doing? Good to see you tonight. Good. Y'all keep smiling. Y'all smile at me. Yeah. Good. Amen. So, Thomas, how are you? You doing well? You look outstanding. Look at there. Lord have mercy. Miss Reddick, how you doing? You doing well? Miss Jones, look at you. I see you. Yeah. Good. We're asking who all can and will tonight. I look like, yeah, $20. Good. That's a, yeah. All right, $20 tonight. We'll go light tonight. We'll go real light tonight. Sister Brown, how you doing? Deborah Faye? Amen. $20 tonight. Amen. $20 tonight. Amen. If you have $20 give, you can give $19.99. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to ask, amen. With Brother Rich. Oh, he giving 25. Bless your heart. Thank you, my friend. Yes, sir. Make it out to John Shepherd AME Church. And if you see ways of giving, you can screen the QR code printed within your bulletin. The QR codes are within your bulletin, ways of giving. You give through Giverify or PayPal. Within your bulletin, your QR code, you can do your QR code and you give. You see ways of giving. All right, let us stand all over the church. We're going to come around and give. While the choir give us some good marching music, our ushers are leading the way. Sister Bonner, you all come on, let's come. Come around and give. Our ushers. All right, come around. 25, bless you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Bless you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. So don't call the roll till I get there. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. See, I can't answer for nobody else. I'm gonna walk the streets of gold. I'm gonna touch the pearly gates. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey in that land, for there is plenty. I'm gonna do the holy dance. I'm gonna shout hallelujah. I'm gonna sing Zion songs in my heavenly, heavenly home. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. So don't call the road till I get there. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. See, I can't answer for nobody else. I'm gonna walk the streets of gold. I'm gonna touch the pearly gates. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey in that land, for there is plenty. I'm gonna do the holy dance. I'm gonna shout hallelujah. I'm gonna sing Zion songs in my heavenly, heavenly home. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. So don't call the road. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. See, I can't answer with nobody else. I'm coming, Lord.
Hey!
By myself. the streets of gold. I'm gonna touch the pearly gates. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey in that land where there is plenty. I'm gonna do the holy dance. I'm gonna shout hallelujah. I'm gonna sing Zion songs in my heavenly, heavenly home. I'm coming, Lord, all by myself. So don't call the road till I get there. I'm coming, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. I just thank God for the ability to be able to think the thoughts of the words that we are singing. Don't count the row until I get there. You know? I mean, after working so hard down here, and the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Not to be present with mama as much as I want to see her and want to be with her or with daddy. Not even to see the golden streets and the pearly gates.
All right, say that.
But to be present with the Lord. The one who died for us. What a joy. So everything else is secondary. So don't count the row. Till I land. Thank God for the choir. Let's bless the Lord for them one more time. Amen. Preparing them for worship tonight. Thank God for you. We do honor the Spirit of the Living God here with us tonight. And we're so thankful and grateful for the prayer warriors been praying for the revival. It's preaching time, amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's time now for us to hear from God himself. So thankful for Mrs. Reddick, amen, here with us tonight. Thank God for her. Come on, y'all, let's bless the Lord for her. Thank God for Mrs. Reddick, amen. One of our members of the church, amen. Thank God for her. So thankful and grateful for, amen. Sister Thomas, amen. Come on, y'all, let's give her a hand clap of praise, amen. Thank God for her. So thankful for her. And I'm also thankful for my wife, Sister White, amen. Come on, y'all, let's give her a hand clap of praise. Thank God for her. Thank God for her. Thank God for her. Thankful for all of our visiting officers who are here. I'm thankful for my church family, John's Chapel AME Church, right in Enterprise, Alabama, amen. Now give yourselves a hand clap of praise, amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Reverend Eddie W. Thomas. Great preacher. Amen. One is able to preach the word of God. He needs no introduction. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was reading in 1 Corinthians about the 8th chapter, and Paul was traveling to certain areas, and the people said, Paul, we need to give you a letter of approval concerning your ministry. And they said, we need to give you a letter of commendation as you travel from state to state, village to village, country to country. And Paul announced to the people and said, your letter of accommodation is not good for me. Your letter of approval is not fit for me. I appreciate the accommodations. I appreciate the pat on the back.
He said, the only letter I would love to present before the people is your changed life. He said, that's my only bio. That's my only agenda. Is the life that you live after preaching. And the Lord has sent us a pastor preacher who exemplifies his preaching. And I'm so thankful and grateful for him, mentoring all of us as pastor preachers, showing us to be passionate with preaching. If you can't feel it, how you expect the members to feel it? It starts with you being able to receive the word from God and being able to deliver God's word in a very effective way. You know, the next voice you will hear after the choir give a selection of their choice is the proud pastor of Mary Magdalene Baptist Church in Abbeville, Alabama, and Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Newville, Alabama. Your friend and my friend, Dr. Eddie Thomas. He will come and allow God to use him. Don't sit in judgment. Sit in prayer. Pray with him and praise with him while God use him one more time. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Been changed. in chains. I know I've been changed. Angels in heaven sign my name. The angels in heaven sign my name. Amen and amen. We thank God for his mercy, his love, his kindness, his matchless grace that has enabled us to assemble ourselves again in this house of worship and to worship God in the beauty of his holiness and in the holiness of his beauty. I'm grateful to Pastor White, who I call the happy warrior. I'll have nearly the energy that he has, so don't he expect me to pump you up like that. Officers and members of this church, all of you, my brothers and sisters of the household of faith, who share this worship moment with us. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 16. A couple of verses I want to lift from that ancient story. Story that still inspires, still informs, and still comforts. Verse 6 says, "But Abram said to Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee." And when Sarai had dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Verse 8 says, "And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence cometh thou, and whither goest thou?" She said, "I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai." Verse 11 says, "An angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has heard thine affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." I want to end with verse 13. "And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, Thou God seeth me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" In the Hebrew text, there is a word El Roi, which means Thou God seeth me. I want to talk this evening about the blessedness of knowing the God who knows it all. The blessedness of knowing the God who knows it all. So often when we talk about blessings and being blessed, we think of it in terms of what we have. If we have money in our pockets, food in our refrigerator, car in the driveway, we shout, "I'm blessed." But I want to look at it from another angle. Sometimes you are blessed not by what you have, but by what you know. If you woke up this morning knowing who you were and knowing where you were, you were blessed. Even though you may not have had any money in your bank account, and all your credit cards have been maxed out, if you still know what day it is, you're blessed. Because there are many people who have money in the bank but don't know they're in the world. Being aware, knowing some things, is a blessing. Knowing the right people is a blessing. And knowing the right people who also know you is a better blessing. Because all of us in here know the right folk. But that does not always work in the opposite direction. The right folk may not necessarily know you. When Franklin Roosevelt died, the nation was gripped in sorrow and sadness. He was a great leader, a leader unlike the leaders we have now, who was able to connect with the people in the nation. There is a classic scene in that moment when his body is being carried through the streets of Washington toward its final resting place. A fellow is standing there with tears streaming down his cheek. And a reporter goes to him and asks him the question, "You really knew Roosevelt, didn't you?" And he said, "No, I never met Roosevelt, but somehow I knew that he knew me." That's the blessingness of knowing the right person who also knows you. There was an ancient old anthem of the church. They used to sing it, Willie, on First Sunday. The senior choir would sing it. Y'all don't remember that old senior choir. That was that choir that couldn't rock. Because one of them would always be going in the wrong direction, and rather than rocking, they'd bump into each other. That old senior choir who no longer could hit the high notes, but when the note got high, they'd just point up and sing it as best way they could. But I remember the words of that song. They sang, "We are our Heavenly Father's children. And we all know that He loves us one and all. Yet, there are times when we find we answer another's voice and call. But if we are willing, He will teach us His voice only to obey no matter where. For He knows, yes, He knows." They couldn't hit that note. Just how much we can bear. That song captures the essence of the story recorded in the text. It is a story of a woman who has been mistreated, abused, misused, and marginalized. Yet she discovers the blessedness of knowing a God who knows it all. It is the story of a woman who is not talked about a lot in church. She's not one of the good girls. She's one of the bad girls of the Bible. She's not an Esther. She's not a Ruth. And she's a long way from being a Mary. But she's a sister. Her skin was blessed with an abundance of melanin. She hailed from the Horn of Africa. She was a native of Egypt. And like so many of her descendants, she found herself at the mercy of another culture. For when we discover her in Scripture, she is labeled as a slave who is elevated to a maid and a mistress. There is a ceiling on how far Hagar could rise. I ought to have a witness there. Somebody ought to know what it's like to live in a world and grow up in a culture where you are limited from the moment you come into the world. That there have been boundaries already set beyond which you are not expected or allowed to rise above. That's Hagar. Throughout her story, she is at the mercy of somebody else. She lives her whole life being misused and abused by those in power and those in authority. By the time we get to chapter 16, she has now been passed around, first to Sarah, and then Sarah passes her off to Abraham. She has been used to the point in the language of the streets, she has been used up. Because the Bible tells me that when Sarah saw that Hagar had conceived a child, she despised her. She despised her because Hagar was now able to do what Sarah always wanted to do and couldn't do. I ought to have a witness right there, because there's somebody sitting in here who has been despised by folk because you were able to achieve what they could not achieve. She has been pushed to the margin. And now she's at the end of her rope. And the Bible tells us that when Sarah had treated her badly, Hagar did the only thing she knew to do. She ran. Life will make you run. Life will make you run, and sometimes you don't even know which direction you want to run. The only thing you know to do, you got to get out of here. I can't take this any longer. I've had enough. I'm fed up. Like Fannie Lou Hamer, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anywhere is better than here. Bible tells us that she runs, and she runs into a bad place. She runs into the desert, and she kept running till she ran out of places to run. And when we get to that point where she is at the end, where there's no other place to run, she's outran her resources, she finds herself at a fountain of water. A fountain of water she didn't even know was there, has no understanding of how it appeared in the midst of a desert in an unlikely place. She found that somehow there was a God who provided her with what she needed at the very moment she needed it most. And it's there she makes this great discovery that in spite of her burdens, she has still managed to be blessed. Sometimes, beloved, when I look at my situation and I see all of the things that has happened around me and to me, and when, like Hagar, I have reached the end of my rope and I'm about to fall into the midst of despair, I discover that in spite of all of my burdens, I'm still blessed. In spite of all of my anguish, in spite of all of my adversity, in spite of the wishes and actions of my adversaries, I am still blessed, because I've discovered that in my worst moment, there is a God who provides what I need just when I need it. While she is there drinking cool water in the midst of a desert, the Bible says the angel of the Lord appears into her and begins to dialogue, talk with her. And she discovers that this messenger of God know some things.
As they dialogue, she discovers that somehow this God knows her plight. Because no one else is aware outside of the three conspirators in the text exactly what has transpired. But now as she talks and listens to God, she discovers that he knows her plight. He asks her a question, but he does not ask it for information. I got to stick a point in that now. You stick a pin in that. Because every time God asks a question, he's not asking for information. He's asking it to give us inspiration. Because he already knows. The Bible declares that God knows our uprising and our downsetting. He understands our thoughts afar off. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't worship a God that I had to tell something. I wouldn't serve a God who doesn't know more than I know. That's why I just sit and grin when I hear folk talking about they're going to have to tell God about it. Well, you need to upgrade your God, because the God I serve already knows about it. He knows the numbers of the hairs of my head. He knows my thoughts afar off. He is already in the know. He does not have to be informed. That even when he asks me, he's not asking for information. Yes, but he's merely seeking a means by which I can be inspired. She says, Hagar, where are you going? She says, well, I've been running from the face of my mistress. He said, oh, Sarah, you don't have to tell me nothing about Sarah. I know all about Sarah. I know Sarah acts like she's all that and a bag of chips, her and Abraham both. But I knew them when they didn't have nothing. I knew them when they were down in Haran and didn't know anything about anything. When they were living with kinfolk, I knew it. I knew them then. I know she's got houses and lands and servants and cattle. But let me tell you something about Sarah and Abraham. When they left on their way here, they didn't have nothing but a suitcase and a promise. Because when I called Abraham, I told him to get out from around everything and don't take nothing, and I'll take you to a land called I Will Show You. When they left, they didn't even know where they were going. You thought you were the only one who ran away into a desert not knowing your destination? Well, Abraham left not knowing where he was going. And every now and then when you're dealing with some folk who want to act like they have always had it going on, it's good sometime to talk with a God who can tell you that no, they may have it now, but everything they got now is because I made it possible. Because they came into the world the same way you came into the world. Come here, Job, and help me. Job declares, naked I came into the world, and naked I shall return. Because I know your plight. And I know every now and then there are times when we feel we are in a world that has pushed us to the side. We live in a culture. We live in a society that is dehumanizing us. We are losing our humanity. Yeah, it's an age that has given us a lot, but it's also taken a lot from us. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of things, but we paid a terrible price for it. We've got instant communication, but we done forgot how to talk to folk.
Huh? Yeah, let me tell you what I'm talking about.
We don't call folk on the telephone no more, Willie. We send them a text message. And the smart ones don't even write words no more. They just hit you with a lot of alphabets. LOL, I know what that one means. But sometimes I get these text messages from folk, it's 8 or 9 letters, capital letters, that I don't know what in the world they talking about. I've got to Google what this means. Take me 5 minutes to respond to the text, because now I've got to figure out what all these letters mean. Then they'll throw an emoji in there. And don't you deal with old folk who don't know what they do. They throw some weird stuff at. And after about 5 minutes, Willie, I just said, okay, I'm going to call him. Because I can end this conversation in 15 seconds, while it's taking me 3 minutes to translate it, because we have somehow lost the ability to communicate. Yeah. You call somebody, you don't get nobody on the phone anymore. All you get is somebody's voicemail. You call the doctor, it goes to voicemail. You call the drugstore, it goes to voicemail. The other week I had a prescription that was due to refill. I called the pharmacy. Voicemail said, leave the name of the prescription and the number, and then we will call the doctor. And it's 3 days later, and I'm still getting them voicemail. The fourth day, I just walked up there and knocked on the window, and the woman said, what you got? I said, I need some of this. Oh, we got some of this here under the counter. You ain't even got to pay for that. No, because somehow we've got to break through and really deal with a human being. I'm afraid if we're not careful, artificial intelligence will push humankind to the margin. But we're known more by numbers than we are by names. But here, when we get to this scene in the Bible, Hagar discovers that there's a God who not only knows your plight, but he also knows your pain. For the angel says, hey, God, I also know what you're dealing with. You're hurting. You're hurting not because of the way Sarah and Abraham have treated you. Because remember, beloved, that Hagar has no voice in all the stuff that went around her. Nobody asked her for her permission. Nobody asked her to sign on to the mess. But she's just an innocent victim being used for the gratification of those around her. And then he says, Hagar, but I also know your real problem. You're carrying a son, and you're hurting because you know the world that son is going to be born into. It's there in the text, because the text says we've already named him. We're going to call him Ishmael, and he will be unruly. And worse than that, here's a boy who's going to be born with a target on his back. It's there in the text, Willie. For it says he will be hunted and hated by his brethren, and he will also be at odds with them. Imagine the pain of this mother, knowing how she has been mistreated, knowing how she has been abused, knowing how she has been dehumanized, knowing that she is going to give birth to a son who's going to have it even worse than the way she's having it. Not because of anything that he has done, but just because of the circumstances of his birth. But the angel reassures her that in spite of all of that, God will still take care of him. And then when she discovers that, there is a turning point, an earthquake moment in Scripture. Hagar stands up and does something that nobody has done before in Scripture. She gives God a name. All the other time we read in Scripture, God calls his own name. But the first person to give God a name is this marginalized, dehumanized, mistreated Egyptian slave who says, I'm going to call the name of this God, El Roi, the God who sees and the God who knows. For he not only sees my struggle, he not only sees my plight, he not only sees my pain, but this is the last point and I'm out of here. He is the God who knows my name. Go back and read through it. Every time the text talks about Hagar, it never calls her by her name. It says Sarah's maid, Sarah's handmaid, the Egyptian slave. Abraham looks at Sarah and says, yo maid. Sarah looks at Abraham and says, my handmaid. But when God talks to Hagar, God calls her by her name. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that there is a God who knows my name. He knows who I am. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows what I've been called. He knows the burdens that I've had to bear. But I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm really glad he knows my name and he knows my need. Can I get a witness? In this world where we have been pushed to the side, erased from history, dumped in the basement of American society, I'm glad there's a God who sees and a God who knows my name. He knows me. He calls me by my name. When I've been called boy, when I've been called out of my name, I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm sure enough glad. There's a God who knows. Who knows my name? Because we live in a world where folk, as my grandmama used to say, are nice nasty. You know what nice nasty is? Folk be nasty and dress it up. I'm going to tell you one way they do it. They look at you and say, well, I don't see no color. That means you don't see me. Because, see, I was colored. I was colored by the hand of God. And he sees me. He colored me so I wouldn't fade into the background, so I wouldn't become part of the landscape. He gave me something that he didn't give some folk. He gave me an overabundance of melanin. He gave me some knots in my hair because I could identify with Elroy. Come here and get me out of here, John, because John said I was on the island of Patmos, and I looked and saw one standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. He had hair like lamb's wool and feet like polished brass. That's why I know he knows my name. He knows what it is to be pushed aside, because he declared foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. He knows what it is to be hounded for his immigration status, because he had to hide down in Egypt to escape a tyrant by the name of Herod. He knows what it is, how to make it on borrowed property, because he had to borrow a boat to preach in, borrowed a boy's lunch to feed a multitude, borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He knows what it is to have to use other folks' stuff in order to make it to where you're trying to get. What you mean, Eddie? Because he was born in another man's stable, grew up in another man's town, rode into town on another man's mule, ate his last meal at another man's table, prayed in another man's garden, arrested for another man's crime, tried in another man's court, condemned to carry another man's cross, hung on another man's heel, was buried in another man's grave. But early Sunday morning, stood on resurrection ground. There is a name I love to hear. I love to tell its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love him. I love him because I love him, because he first loved me. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody here who's blessed because he knows? Blessed because he heard you cry? Blessed because he pitied every groan? It is a blessing to know a God who sees and knows. As we stand now in this sanctuary, the choir will sing, and we would extend an invitation to discipleship. No matter your plight, no matter your problem, your difficulties, or your situation, There is a God who sees and knows. He will answer. Ill prayer will turning. No little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus. Right. Have a little. Let us tell him. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Prayer wheel turning. No little fire's burning. Talk with Jesus. Right. He'll make it all right.
Didn't our hearts burn within us as the man of God preached tonight from the word of the living God? Let's give this preacher another hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Lord have mercy. Not only good preaching would make you shout, but good preaching would make you think. Amen. And critical thinking has taken place tonight. What a wonderful message tonight to get us kicked off our first night of our revival. Thank you, Dr. Thomas, for allowing God to use you tonight. Amen. Thank you, choir. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you all. Outstanding.
And to our musicians, thank you all. Thank you all. Great job. Great job. Great job. Great job. Great job. So let us continue to pray that the Lord will continue to use Dr. Thomas in a very powerful way the next two nights. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. All right, well, it is, yeah, good timing, 8:26. Lord have mercy. What a wonderful worship experience. I'm just so excited. Okay, Sister White, come on, stand up. You want to introduce? Yes. I know you have a lot going on this week. Bless you. The spouse, there you go. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for that wonderful message. Outstanding. All right. At this time, Dr. Thomas.
Thank you, my friend.
Come on.
Thank you. Thank again the choir, musicians.
What do we close with?
As we stand now across this building, and God has spoken, let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Church, say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Let the church. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. God be in you as well as around you, over you as well as under you. So wherever you go, you will always know that God is there. Good night. Be blessed.